Hello, it's Sarah here, and welcome to the Rise Priestess podcast. This is a podcast for healers and leaders, the potent priestesses, witches, activists, and Aquarians of the world who are here to contribute to the liberation of people and the healing of our planet. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Coxon. I'm an archaeologist turned author, priestess, healer, inner alchemy witch, business strategist, and regenerative guide. I'm here to help you heal from stress and hustle, bring forth your most potent medicine into the world, and increase your capacity to receive everything you need to flourish and thrive. Because your expansion is a gift to the world. I'm so glad to welcome you here, and I'm excited to dive into today's episode. Hey loves, another episode is here, and in this episode I speak to Nikita Anand. Nikita is a somatic and sensual embodiment coach and a kundalini and tantra facilitator, and she helps her clients to connect deeper with their bodies and heal from within. And we had such a great conversation. We spoke about somatics, we spoke a little bit about the coaching industry, we spoke about what it's like to navigate the void as a business owner and how it's actually pretty essential if you want to evolve your medicine. And there's so many overlaps between Nikita's work and my work. It was just such a joy to have this conversation with her. She's such a bright spirit. And I just know that you're going to enjoy. Hello, my loves. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so happy to introduce you to Nikita. Nikita, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, Sarah. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I just know we're going to have a really great conversation because I just love everything that you're about, the somatics, the embodiment, the sensuality, the femininity. I just absolutely love it. So maybe we could start with you introducing yourself and telling us a little bit more about you and what you're currently up to in the world.
Yes, I'm so excited for our conversation as well, because I know there's a lot of similarities and ways that we enhance each other. So I'm Nikita Anand. I'm a somatic and sensual embodiment coach. And I also facilitate Kundalini and Tantra workshops, retreats, and spaces. So what I'm all about is connecting with the body first and healing from within, transforming from within, leading from within first, and then letting our energy and everything that we're about expand from there. I work with my clients around femininity, feminine energy, receiving with more ease, healing the nervous system, feeling safe. And there's lots of different things that we do here, right? But it all comes back to a sacred connection with yourself and your body, one where you feel at home within yourself, where you don't feel like you need to fight against yourself or run away from parts of yourself or suppress something within you. And what is happening in my world, I have started doing lots of retreats. So we are doing a retreat in Costa Rica in March and one in Mallorca in April. These are the most exciting things happening right now.
Yes, I saw about your retreats. I saw about the one in Costa Rica and I was like, I would so love to go. The timing doesn't work for me, but I was like, oh, you're on my radar. I love that. I guess what I'm curious about then is like, what brought you into this work? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, so there's a long journey. I will try to summarize in a few bullet points, but essentially 7 years ago, I started getting into fitness, into bodybuilding type of weight training. And I loved it, but my relationship with food and with the gym very quickly fell into a obsessive one where I was restricting too much food, working out too much, sometimes twice a day, and getting too skinny at the point where I wasn't allowed to work out anymore because I had hair loss. My bones were cracking while I was walking at a very young age. And I realized that I had placed my whole happiness just on the gym. And then when I wasn't allowed to work out anymore, my only thought was, okay, let's gain weight fast so I can go to the gym back fast again. So then I placed my whole happiness on food. So it swung from one extreme to the other. And what followed were a few years of disordered eating patterns and holding a lot of shame in my body for myself, holding shame in the way that I felt like I looked bad or I was holding too much belly fat, you know, things like that. So fitness and self body image, that is where my journey began. And that is also when I started to slowly get to know the world of personal development, mindset, and spirituality. And through that, everything that was woohoo, everything that was feminine and masculine energy, and everything that was with energy and also with the body just fascinated me. And I dove into all of these things and read books, visited retreats, events, trainings, certifications. But my own connection with shame is actually what I would say is what was the deepest or the biggest spark for me to actually start with somatic healing and working with the body.
That's such a, thank you so much for sharing that, because it's really quite a vulnerable thing to share, like our struggles. And I'm very interested about you had distorted eating patterns. I think for lots of people, we have a lot of distortion, like distorted behavior. And shame is like always at the core of why we do what we do. I'm curious about how you found that somatic work, personal development, Kundalini, Tantra, how has this helped you in your process of healing shame? Like, how has that been for you? Are there any particular approaches that have really worked?
Yes. So the personal development and the mindset work was the beginning for me. And it helped me a lot with being positive and learning to allow myself to feel my emotions. That was great. But after years of doing that and also meditating, I noticed that I was still being very harsh, a very big self-critic. Like, I was still being very mean to myself in my mind and to my body. And that is where I noticed, okay, the shame is not in my mind. The shame is actually physically in my body. And it felt like, I want to scream this out. I want to pull this out. It felt like this gross thing that I was holding within my body. But, you know, shame doesn't feel nice. And it's something that we usually avoid feeling. And for me, that was avoiding feeling shame by overeating and then feeling more shame. And then you can see the pattern here. So the somatic work allowed me to enter, to create a space where for a moment I didn't try to suppress it with food or with the gym, but actually just felt the shame, even if it was uncomfortable and felt like this thing that was crawling all over and within my body. For the first time, I actually felt it and wasn't scared of it as much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there's that old cliche, isn't it? You have to feel it to heal it. And I think that the beautiful thing about somatic work is it creates this safe container to feel as well. So you're less likely to become flooded and it be overwhelming. And actually it's really about coming back to, feeling, but in a kind of safe environment, or at least that's how I see it.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of us are really afraid of feeling feeling fully. And somatics creates the, like you said, the safe space where we often realize actually feeling is not even that dangerous thing. It's actually the thing that we were craving all along through our distorted patterns. And it's like, wow, my mind is blown here, right? It's like, okay, let me actually feel it and see if I then still feel scared of feeling. Like, what I want to say is oftentimes feeling is the thing that we want. And after we feel it, we realize it's A, either not there anymore because you resolved it, or it's not scary anymore because you created a understanding or safe relationship with it.
Yes. Yeah. I really resonate with that. And I think that, you know, I always reflect upon more kind of globalized society. I know I'm being very general here, but kind of our global culture, and how, particularly within certain pockets of it, it's really like we're so taught not to feel. Like we're taught that feeling is really, really scary. We're taught that emotions are bad, or some emotions are good and some emotions are bad. But I love what you're saying here, because it's certainly been my experience that when you give space to actually being with those parts of yourself, rather than rejecting them or thinking they shouldn't be there or suppressing them, it lends to greater freedom.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. And it creates this path of discovering what is underneath the feeling, right? That there's a desire underneath the feeling, the desire for safety, desire for attention, for, hey, I want to change my career. You know, like I desire change, but above that feeling or desire is the fear of change, maybe, or the fear of anything really. But when we open up to actually feeling, we access the deeper desire, which opens us up to a whole new world, right? Like if we were just to always stay the same and never feel anything, we would feel so frustrated with ourselves, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of career change, I hope it's okay to go here, but before we started recording, you said that, you know, your personal journey with your business, you're in this kind of rebrand transition phase. And I'm all about the transition. Like I think, you know, pivoting. I always say that I'm the queen of pivoting. I love a good fucking pivot. And I'm really curious about that experience for you right now, if you want to speak to that, just because, yeah, I think it's really cool.
Yes, I would love to. So I totally know what you mean. I'm the nerd, or like, I love going deep. I love like crying it all out, going into the void and not restricting anything. I want to go as deep as possible. And so what I was sharing with Sarah beforehand was, as I have been this somatic coach and, you know, diving into femininity, I was more so doing this for everyone. And now I'm really feeling how I'm transitioning into creating these spaces dedicated to leaders, to new and aspiring coaches, healers, leaders. And because what I've noticed with some people who start their own business, they start because they find their thing that helps them, and then they want to share it with other people. And as they are growing their business, they sometimes lose connection with their own medicine.
Yes.
And
this is so true. This is so true.
And that's why this is coming up. And I just, you know, with life, I cannot not listen to life or to spirit. I cannot go against myself. I cannot go against what life is creating for me. I feel like then I start to have a lot of resistance. So I was in the past few days and weeks, I was just feeling that I'm ready for something new. And on Friday, today is Tuesday. On Friday, I was at a female founders event, networking event, and I met some amazing women and who are doing all sorts of things in the world. And I just, after that event, which was a high, which was amazing, I felt like everything was crumbling down again in my world. And I felt like I was, okay, I'm going into the void. I'm going into this transition or transformation, where it felt like I completely lost myself and forgot what I want, who I am, why I'm doing what I'm doing, and what I want to continue doing. I felt like I don't want to do what I do anymore. I don't, you know, just everything felt like it was breaking down or burning down. And I just allowed myself on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday just to, you know, not force myself to do anything, not force myself to post anything, not to message back. You know, I'm someone, if it's not urgent and your body's not feeling like you can message back someone in that moment, it's okay to message back a few hours or days later.
Amen to that.
Yes. So this weekend I was just feeling lost and crying, and with my boyfriend, he was like, how can I support you? You know, like, what is coming up for you? And I was just saying, I don't know. And I just need to cry. And it felt like I was in a big mush energy. And I did move, I did meditate, but I didn't, you know, just because I was feeling, how can I say this? Just because I was feeling like I was in a transformation portal didn't mean I meditated for 5 hours to find the solution in the meditation. I just allowed myself to be in this portal overall. And then on Monday, I asked myself some more specific questions of, you know, how would I like to lead my life? How do I desire to feel? What is it that I really want? You know, like expanding my perception, not just the next few months or 1 year, but how do I want to lead my life the next few years? And so yes. I allowed myself this space of just being nothing, of feeling like I was nothing, of feeling lost, so that the answers could come to me by themselves. And then yes, after a few days, I did use the help of some specific questions and specific exercises to, you know, bring me back to my truth.
Yeah, because it's also about normalizing this. Like we kind of forget that there's this kind of cyclical nature of clarity as well. And like sometimes we think that clarity is this like end point, and once you have it, that's it, you always got it. But we're always like evolving, and I think our medicine is always evolving. And so sounds like, yeah, this is really fresh for you. You're still in this kind of exploration phase. And I think that, yeah, it's good to normalize this, because I'm also in it's not quite a pivot, but I'm in a void. And it's fucking uncomfortable because something wants to come through. And I have a very good idea about what that is. But there's also like a knowing of like, I cannot force this, because if I force this, I'll fuck it up.
Yeah. And you know, yeah. Like, it's so easy for you as a being to be in that void and feeling how you're moving through this portal. And then, because some part of you might get scared, like, what if I, you know, don't create ASAP or whatever it is, but yeah, as we're moving through this portal, sometimes some part of us gets afraid, and then our mind kicks in and just creates new ideas. But you might just be in the middle of the process, and there's more, like you were saying, there's more to the creation or to the void than if you were just creating from right now. You know, like maybe in 2 days you will have even more medicine pouring from you than you have right now.
Yeah. And I've historically had this tendency to kind of almost kind of shorten the process a little bit, because the fear will kick in. It'll be like, oh, if I don't jump on this now, then I'm not going to survive, or, you know. And it's I think in order to be in the void, I have to focus on creating and connecting to stability and safety, feelings of like safe enough. And so just as an example, so I'm on a social media hiatus, and for this is the first time I've done this in 5 years of business. And I just was like, yep, I need to do this. I need to be focused on, yeah, like on creation and what wants to come through without the filter of like, this needs to perform in a certain way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the first few days I've been like, oh, I can feel the unwinding, it's amazing. And then today, oh, up comes the fear of like, you need to do something, otherwise everything you've created is gonna go
what
away.
What if people
basically
forget about you? What if
absolutely
no one signs up? What if you don't make money? Like, oh,
absolutely, I'm gonna
up.
Be on the fucking street. And so like, thank God for my training and for my experience, because I know like the thing is not to jump into creation. The thing is to come back to safety. So I've spent more time on my fucking mat and more time connecting to resource than ever before, because I know that if I don't do that, I'm just going to, like, I'm not going to learn the lesson, and I'm not going to unhook from this kind of urgency wiring, as it were. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's also, where are we creating from within? Yes, but also recycling the things that we see from social media, you know,
not on purpose,
but just like, of course, if you're consuming everything, of course you're recycling. It's not about you. It's human nature. So
yeah,
I love what you're doing. And just creating this whole new, wasn't it always about this? Like creating from the depths of you and not from the urgency, not from the, you know, from other people's opinions or from societal beliefs. But it feels like, we were talking about this a bit before, it feels like as we start this, you know, spiritual self-development journey, we start to unhook from societal beliefs and conditions. But in the coaching industry lately, it has just felt like, or I have to say for me, it has felt like I was just creating new beliefs just
from society, but just from the coaching industry.
And I'm like, I feel so connected with you right now, because I feel like both of us are in this process of releasing those and just coming back to our truth once more again.
Absolutely. I think that, yeah, you're so right. Because for me, my process has been like, you know, I kind of like was leaving the matrix, although not quite, because like no one can really, when you live in capitalism, like you're not leaving the matrix anytime soon. But this kind of idea of creating freedom, and then, so you're unhooking, but then without realizing it, I was just hooking back into another form of, another type of prison, but that I was kind of creating and also subscribing to. And I think that for me personally, like I hit a certain level of success in my business, and I was like, wow, like this is what everyone's supposed to be, you know, everyone's aspiring to. And I've hit, I mean, now the bar keeps right, like being raised. So haven't hit like, you know, all these ridiculous, like arbitrary financial goals or whatever. But, you know, originally I'd hit a certain level of success. And then you start to, well, I did anyway, I started to feel like I need to stay here. I need to keep going. I need to keep doing, or like, what's the next thing? And I just realized it was just all felt really, really icky. And I felt I had to be really honest with myself and be like, this is not freedom. This isn't freedom to be so invested in looking a certain way, or needing a certain amount of clients, or a certain amount of money, or a certain amount of engagement on your social media, or whatever it is. And so like giving myself permission to take a step back from that and reassess, like, what is it that I'm really here to do? And I know that it's trauma work. I know that it's somatic work. I know that it's priestess work. I know that it's all, you know, it's all bound up with that. But there's something about like coming back to the essence and the core of it that feels really important to me, and just unhooking from the numbers game, whatever that is, whether it's money, whether it's followers, you know, whenever I'm feeling wobbly in my business, it's usually because I'm comparing my business, I'm comparing myself and my business to a number that I think I should have or be hitting. And it's just like, no, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, it really sounds like we're moving through similar, or unhooking from similar, not even rules, but standards. Like, I just need to sigh, like, whatever. Just like we're unhooking from similar coaching industry things. And I mean, we love the coaching industry, but we can also create or recreate a new paradigm for ourselves, which that is what we are all about, right? Like creating this new earth, but again, creating it clear, creating it in integrity. And that might mean something different for everyone, but coming back to your truth and coming back to your integrity over and over again, as like you said, our message, our medicine will change, we will change. So this transformation, coming back to, you know, rebranding, transformation and the void, we will be in this over and over again. And both of us have done that or been in one so many times, not being afraid of it anymore. And yes, some fear will come up, and that is totally okay. But just knowing it's part of the process, just because you're moving through a void, you're not doing anything wrong or you're losing yourself. You're actually finding yourself much deeper once again.
Yes. Yeah. And anytime, I don't know about you, but anytime I have really given myself permission to take space from something or to stop something that wasn't working, it's always worked out. And I've always looked back and gone, oh, thank fuck I did that.
Yes.
Thank fuck I was brave enough to do that. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for this. I am very curious about your retreats. And yeah, obviously now, hopefully pandemic stuff is like, you know, over and stuff. I think there's going to be a lot more call for retreats. I would love to know more about the kind of work you do in your retreats, why you felt drawn to offering retreats in the first place, and about your upcoming retreats.
Yes. Okay. Let me start with why I love doing retreats and how that started. I was doing a lot of in-person workshops in Zurich in Switzerland. They were Kundalini and Tantra workshops where we were doing meditation, breath work, and then movement. I love them. The people who joined us, they all of them, like, they loved it. The transformation, you could see it in their face after those 3 hours, all of them looked reborn. What I did notice is I was hosting them once a month for like 10 months. What I did notice, there was this high that all of us achieved, you know, in the middle or towards the end of the workshop. And then the workshop was finished. And the following month, a lot of people came again, but also it felt like we were rebuilding this whole momentum again. But it felt like after a few months, it felt like I was putting in so much just for it to quote unquote crash after a few hours. And that's where I was desiring a longer container, you know, going even deeper, doing even more things. I mean, a really deep trauma healing process. I cannot just meet someone, say, hi, I'm Nikita, and then just go to the depths of the trauma. Or not always, but with a retreat, I do 5-day retreats. We start very powerfully, yes, but there is much more space for different nuances of transformation and healing to happen. Also in the body, in the mind, in the spirit, you can reach much more deeper levels, and you can create different ceremonies and practices that maybe you wouldn't be able to create in just a 2-hour workshop. So it started from desiring a longer container, desiring to go deeper, desiring to share even more, and desiring to create a deeper connection for the people who are joining with each other as well, and allowing yourself to be seen even more. Yes, in the workshops, they were seeing each other, and that was really healing. But in the retreats, it's just a whole other story. And I personally have loved attending retreats and trainings, and I have found them to be some of the most transformational work that I have participated in. And that's how it started for me. And the retreats that I do, they're very, again, of course, somatic, trauma healing, emotional healing focused, and also connecting more with your femininity and your healthy embodied feminine and masculine energies. And what I love is like the priestess path, and I know you do too. I love the ceremonies. I love the sacredness of a powerful ceremony where it's safe to go really deep. And my retreats are almost building on top of each other, where the first one is called Remembering the Goddess Retreat. And The name says everything, right? Remembering the goddess within us, and also around us, in nature, in your sister who is sitting across from you, who is moving through her fair share of emotions and healing as you are doing the same. And worshiping the goddess within yourself, and not just when you're taking this bath once a month or once a week, but in daily life, and in the way you hold yourself, the way you believe in yourself, the way you talk to yourself, the way you share your offerings. And that's the first level, where we dive really deep into that and release the shame and old memories. And it is a very powerful retreat. We did the first one this July, and the faces of the women who joined us were the way their energy, their bodies and their faces, everything was just completely different and more back to their truth than when they first stepped into the sacred space.
I love that so much. And I know exactly what you mean about holding deeper space in retreats. I've held a few retreats, and we have another one coming up in Portugal next year. And it's like, yeah, safety is kind of built bit by bit, moment after moment, interaction after interaction. And it just sounds like your work, and I think there's a lot of similarities to mine, and it just sounds really, really juicy. And yeah, I'm very interested in the Mallorca retreat, so we need to talk.
Yes, I will share more with you later. But that is like the first level, and actually for the one in April, we only have 2 spots left. So
this, oh God!
Yes, it booked out really fast. Just I feel I know that the energy was just, you know, you could feel it. You could feel the transformation. And there's one more that I'm doing in Costa Rica with my friend Marina Yanai Triner. She's an amazing somatic coach and an expert on nervous system regulation. I would call her an expert. And we are collaborating on this sacred 5-day retreat in the Costa Rican jungle, where you disconnect from your phone, where you disconnect from everything and come back to nature and the sacredness within you, right? Your wholeness. And that one is more holistic, more inner child healing, more somatic healing, more overall healing focused. Whereas the retreats that I host by myself are very much, yes, we do this work as well, but they are more so focused on the feminine energy and femininity.
Wow, both sound absolutely amazing. So Nikita, thank you so much for your time and for for sharing so candidly as well. We always appreciate it on this podcast because, yeah, this is what heals. Are there any final words of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners with, or maybe something that you wish you'd been told, you know, when you were younger?
I think what I want to say is it's okay to feel, and I invite, if you can, just put a 3-minute timer on your phone, close your eyes, take a few deep inhales into your belly and allow yourself to exhale loudly just for those 3 minutes. Then you can go back to whatever you were doing before. And simply observe what is coming up. As you're exhaling loudly, how is your body really feeling right now? What is your heart really feeling right now? What does your soul desire? That is my invitation and share for today.
That's great. I love that so much. And where can we find you?
The best way is on Instagram at soulcoachnikita, N-E-N-I-K-I-T-A. And my website is Anand Way of Life. I will, you can see it on my Instagram bio. You will have all the links to everything.
And all those links will be in the show notes as well. Nikita, thank you so much for your presence today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for creating this space. I've loved it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Rise Priestess podcast. And I'd love to invite you to consider perhaps sharing this episode on your social media stories to spread the word. There is way more goodness where this came from. If you'd like to go deeper with my work and receive free exclusive monthly inspiration, contemplations, and practices that I don't share anywhere else, then you can sign up for the Regenerate newsletter by heading over to drsarahcoxon.com and following the link. See you over there, and thanks for tuning in.